Right now on VFN TV, High Bred Humans. Yes, we'll be talking about that. In addition, is God sending a bulldozer to Washington, D.C., calling it a house of cards to be able to change everything and save the day? We're also going to be talking about the Bible Museum, a powerful, powerful thing that's being done by the Green family and God in Washington, D.C. And over 3 million men went to Washington, D.C. to repent for prayerlessness. And you're going to see that today, right now on VFN TV.
Welcome to VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light.
I saw in a dream young people, I would say teenagers, maybe 20-year-olds, and they were crying. God says things are going to get so bad soon that the draft is going to be reinstated in the United States of America.
I ask that the Congress declare a state of war.
And the kids that have to go to war don't want to go. They're not ready. They're not ready mentally, physically, let alone spiritually. They were crying as draft was being reinstated, and it was a time of great confusion.
The next 8 years in America will be worse than the last 8 years.
Chuck Pierce said, he said that the moment the president made that declaration, that America's going to go back to the 60s. All the turmoil that America had in the 60s, and guess what? You're about to see all that again. As soon as that was said, that America's going to go back to the 1960s. And let me tell you something, the 60s were horrific. John F. Kennedy, the assassination of John F. Kennedy, you had the riots, we had Vietnam War, we had the assassination of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. We had the assassination of Senator Robert Kennedy. I mean, it was horrific. Everything started breaking apart in America. And it's like, that's where, when that statement was made.
The people of God, the church, the people of Israel always ignore the prophets, right? It's what we do. We just go, well, you're kind of a hothead. We'll kill you or ignore you. And then 1,000 years later, we say, man, Isaiah was a great guy.
Something
he was just wonderful.
Holy Spirit said this year will be a very unusual wind and an unusual year on many levels. As a matter of fact, a phrase will be repeated over and over on the lips of people of many nations. You will hear it said, I have never seen anything like this before.
Because the Lord is doing his best to wake up America one more time. You're going to see, as men speak of pockets of selective judgment, so likewise there is pockets of selective revival. And it will be known as the rural revival.
If my people, who are called by my name, will do these things, I'll heal their land. And he's never needed a majority. This is what I keep telling people. We don't have to get 51% of Americans doing this before God can move. He has always work through the remnant.
You know, God is not a donkey and he's not an elephant. He's the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world.
The Lord said there's coming a great international harvest of souls through the internet and online. He said that the internet will light up as the Holy Spirit accelerates his mighty wonders. He also said that the net and lines will bring tremendous and miraculous provision to the body of Christ, because time is of the essence. And the waters are abundant for harvest.
You're going to start seeing more miracles outside the church than you see inside it.
You don't know what to do. You just see some activity and you think, I want to go there. You know, and then you get there, since you don't know about being discipled, you don't know about connecting, you don't know about finding your purpose, nobody's teaching you that. But they show up and they bring trouble because they don't realize if you're going there and that's where God's called, you need to be there.
Today is a divine exchange, and my people will no longer align themselves and agree with the enemy.
A portal for angelic visitation would come in that could not be stopped in this nation.
And the Lord said, I'm raising up columns. I'm causing alignment to occur. And I will be sending forth column after column after column until the enemy is pushed out of your sphere.
God said, I've released my spirit, and the spirit is going to rush to you. As a matter of fact, he's rushing to you even now as you hear this.
We're called as one to be able to move in unity And so, you know, where are you connected at? Where are you related?
But think about these seven mountains of culture. You could call them the religion mountain, which would be the church mountain, the family mountain, the education mountain, the government mountain, the media mountain, arts and entertainment and business. When we go into these mountains and make disciples, we can change the world.
I would say to you, this is the place of defense, for this will be known as when the morning turned in America. I say to you, this will be the day that you bring the sun back to rising in this land. I say to you, I will surround this land, beginning here in the Gulf. I will surround this land and I will build a new wall of defense starting this night, saith the Lord.
Coming together is so important. Can you imagine this thing kick in and you're not even connected to one person?
Phase two of the Third Great Awakening has begun.
With your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me just a moment is John Ramos. Hybrid humans. Who would ever thought this? But from the very beginning, as men has fallen in the garden and built the Tower of Babel and all these different aspects of our fallen nature, men has tried to imitate God, tried to be God. As a matter of fact, Satan said, I will exalt my throne above God. The Tower of Babel, they said that we will build this and we'll reach the heavens. And God said, we'll send down and confuse their language, because if they actually have this vision to do this, they'll accomplish it. So that's why they call it the Tower of Babel, the many languages that are birthed in the earth. Now you're looking at human beings, bodies. He says, no, don't you understand that you are the temple of God, that God's spirit dwells inside of you, that you're the building of God? The adversary wants to put work together with dark minds to be able to build a human being. They're calling it hybrid humans, hybrid human beings. As a matter of fact, let's take a look right now with John Paul Jackson.
Well, this one's kind of scary. This is weird. And the implications of this are kind of scary.
It was one of the scariest things that I've read, I'm not going to lie.
So, a couple of weeks ago, right, I came into your office and said, have you seen this? And what it was an article that exposed the experiments going on in the UK right now of breeding animals and humans.
Yeah, human-animal hybrids.
It's a human-animal hybrid. And the technology is there to do it, and they're doing it. Now, they only let it live for so long.
14,
how long?
14 days.
14 days.
And in an embryonic state.
But it could. I mean, if they didn't stop it.
If they didn't stop it, then we don't know.
We don't know what it would become. But we do know it contained life.
Yes.
And the DNA is living.
Yes.
And we do know that they are so confident that this could happen that the Brookings Institute has reported that they're working on language of the legality of changing our constitution for transhuman rights to include transhuman rights.
And
they're that confident this is going to happen.
And their argument is, if you have a homosexual man married to a homosexual man, mm-hmm. and they want to have a child, mm-hmm. which is physically impossible, and they want that child to have both of their DNA, mm-hmm. well, then they will create that child based on both of their DNA.
Yes.
The problem is that it is no longer human.
Two male, no female gene. So you have human-human inbreeding, man, male to male,
yeah.
No Y chromosomes, or right. Is it no X? No X chromosomes.
I
get them mixed up. And but then, even worse, is the animal to human.
Yes.
So now, why would they do that? Because DARPA wants to create what is called Well, for many reasons. One reason is that DARPA wants to create super soldiers. Super soldiers. Non-human soldiers. So when we go to war, humans don't have to die.
And there's a really interesting video that I found, I think it was last year, and I was re-looking at that video as we were talking about this. And what it is a piece of human skin about so big, and they have infused spider web into this skin. Mm-hmm. And the reason being is the spider web is stronger than Kevlar.
Mm-hmm.
And so they...
Strand for strand.
Yeah, and so the video is actually of them shooting this piece of human skin.
Infused with spider web.
And guess what? The bullet doesn't go through. It's bulletproof skin.
So the justification for this, human DNA mixed with animal, insect in this case, DNA,
yeah,
arachnid, that you end up getting something that can protect humans. Well, if you can get something that can protect humans, then anything, protection of humans being the key phrase,
yeah,
anything that can protect humans now becomes viable and or legal.
And there's also the whole, my child is dying, so I need to have some type of transplant. Mm-hmm. There are 50,000 people waiting for a heart transplant, yeah, right now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, what if we were able to harvest those hearts inside an animal? And
then recreate them through injection, stem cell, through...
Well, they've created sheep that have human livers.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and they even in this, and this is stranger than fiction, but
it's true.
But the articles that I use to reference this are from National Geographic, Discovery, Smithsonian. These are very well-respected scientific communities.
Mm-hmm.
This is not from some conspiracy theorist,
right,
in his mother's basement. You know, these are real scientists that are telling us about this. There are real laws. 2008, they just passed this law in the UK in order to allow for this. And the Parliament, their argument was, well, we will lose our lead as researchers in the stem cell community if we don't push forward with all of these things.
Yeah. So we're going to violate every code in the Bible so that we don't lose our lead standing as the top research nation, R&D, research and development nations in the world. So that's what is going on that we know of.
And here's the other thing. The respected, countries such as UK, and it's happening in America. They've already created in America pigs that have human blood and sheep that have human blood. Mice with human brain cells, and they've done that.
You collect the stem cells from those brain cells or take the brain cells and implant them into a human.
Yeah.
And therefore the idea is they regenerate brain cells or regenerate blood.
And the justification is, well, we want to heal Alzheimer's. We want to heal all of these different, terrible diseases. Don't you want to heal them too? Why are you holding us back?
Yeah.
We're trying to help people, you evil person.
Yeah. So we'll give you a brain that is half animal and half human.
But the leading researchers in all of the world, the leading research is being done out of South Korea and Singapore.
Really?
They are the leading, and that's where all of the Americans that want to be involved, mm-hmm, and all of the Brits.
They're migrating that direction.
They're all going over there because the laws are a lot more lax.
Well, you can see the Coming Perfect Storm website is going to be filled with very interesting things. Now, you have to think through things. You have to read it and say, well, what does that mean? At first glance, the headline is probably going to say something wonderful, how wonderful this is.
Mm-hmm.
But when you think what this means, it's like basically we've just now discovered that we think we can become like God.
Yes, replace God. And actually, the very first example was in, I believe it was either 1926 or 1929, where the Russian wanted to do this in order to eliminate the need for religion.
Is that right?
That was his reasoning, and the government, Russian government, funded his research, and you can find that on the Smithsonian website.
Okay, so now let's just think through this. I want to kind of help, not that you don't know how to think, but let's just kind of think through this whole process. Why would they want to make religion non-viable? And how would this type of thing make religion non-viable? Well, it makes it non-viable simply because, well, we can do it. Yeah. There doesn't have to be a God to do it. We can do it ourselves. Look what we've done. Look at that. And pretty soon you say, well, here's a human. Here's a transhuman. Here is a fully male human, no female in him. But then they say, well, here's a fully female human and no male in them.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, you've got a whole classification of being that wasn't created by God. Now, in one way, the rudiments of it were. It's like the guy says, hey, I can take dirt and make a human, and you can take a human, and you say it's made out of dirt. And so the scientists decide they're going to have a gene pool debate deal, or what do you call it, like maybe a creation cook-off. But then the question becomes who supplies the dirt?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we're really looking at.
Yeah.
They're taking created quantities that God created and saying they've become like God to create it. But they haven't created anything. They've taken what is created and modified it. And that's exactly what Satan does in everything. Yeah. He is not a creator in any way. He has always taken that which is created and he pollutes it, he deforms it, he mutates it, he counterfeits it, and then presents it as the real thing. It's been that way from the beginning. It's still that way today. It's just getting more convoluted.
Shocker, isn't it? But you think about it. We were told very specifically, it will be, when the Lord returns, it'll be just like the days of Noah. What were the days like? The days where men were lawless and doing whatever, evil in their mind 24 hours a day. That was the big thing. But also the sons of God slept with the daughters of men. They looked, the angels looked on the women on the earth, admired them and slept with them, and what came out of that is what's called the Nephilim, these giant folks and that type of thing. Well, you think about that. This is still happening today, the same as the days of Noah. And now one prophetic word that was given about God, judgments coming upon the earth, is God's bringing judgment on the hybrid seed, because we've done the same thing to seeds. We begin to mix seeds and mix animals and mix everything. And if you read the book of Leviticus, God said over and over again, don't mix these things. Don't even grow different seeds on the same field. It wasn't because he was worried about butter beans being mixed with peas. He wanted to maintain the strain of food and resources for us. But we're all into this hybrid stuff. Well, now they're looking at hybrid humans. If he's going to bring judgment on the hybrid seed, you can only imagine what he'll do with all the stem cell research and this high. Everybody wants to live so long. And it's like, you know what? Let me tell you how you can live a long time. Make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. Listen, eternity weighs in the balance. You're trying to live a 60-year, 70-year, 80-year, 90-year life. Some people want to live 125 years. Do you know you can live forever with God in the presence? No sickness, no disease. The fullness of God's presence, but you do that by accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. We did this ourselves. Jesus is the Lord of my life, and we shared a couple of our testimonies at meetmyfather.org. It's meetmyfather.org. Read that, find out exactly how we made the decision to say, you know what, I want to live forever, but I don't need some hybrid human thing or mixture of what. I need Jesus Christ, and he guarantees you eternal life in the presence of the Lord forever. So what it is men are trying to accomplish what God accomplished through his son. It can only be accomplished through Jesus Christ. Well, after this break, we're going to be talking about specifically about a prophetic dream that was given about Washington, D.C., that it's going to come a time when it's so bad that everybody's going to think this is the last days of the last days. But God is going to send a bulldozer. Like in Washington, D.C. is going to be like a deck of cards. And it's going to plow right through all of it, and it's going to switch everything. It's very encouraging. It shows you God's got plans, but also lines up with what the Lord told me very specifically in a night vision. He said, Washington, D.C. is a house of cards. Be sure to join us after this break.
This is VFN-TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
We want to encourage you to partner with us today at VFNTV.com. It's you, our partners, who help us together share the gospel all over the Gulf Coast. You can do that today by going to VFNTV.com, and the benefits are numerous. Specials, green room, teachings, and so much more. Be a part. Join us today, and let's do this together. VFNTV.com.
John, I am just so thankful for those that stand with us, you know, to be able to keep the light going.
Yeah.
And it's our partners that stay with us on a regular basis, you know, it doesn't matter what size, a gift, and just kind of give financially and prayerfully every single month through partnership. I don't know if you have not yet partnered. You can actually go to VFNTV.com and just click on partner now, and it walks you through the prompts. There's so many benefits just to say thank you. One is the teachings. There's just all kinds of teachings, prophetic teachings, teachings to encourage you. But there's also specials that are only for our partners. We had to find something special for you, too, to say thank you. And there's specials that we have for you. And then Green Room. There's, you know, some interviews that we had that we asked other questions that we don't get a chance to ask on air. And we just put that, you know, in the Green Room for you. And it's a thank you. It's obviously just standing alone, standing for the light. And this is what the Lord says. When you stand together, you get the same reward. I want to encourage you to go to VFNTV.com. And click on partner now. We need you to stand with us.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. Isn't that amazing, John?
Amazing.
Hybrid humans. It's like, we got to get busy growing food again or something because we got too much time on our hand when we're trying to figure out how to be God. And it's not going to work. I mean, if God's going to deal with and judge for the hybrid seed, you can imagine what he's going to do messing with trying to create human beings. And realize that's the ultimate thing. I mean, you're so awesome and fearfully made that men are trying now, after 6,000 plus years, trying to duplicate you, and he still can't do it yet. Think about this. If you get accused of a crime, the judge doesn't know if you did it. The jury of 12 people don't know if you did it. The prosecutor doesn't know if you do it. The defense attorney who's defending you don't even really know. Only you know and God knows. And they have a whole court case like O.J. Simpson, and everybody's bringing all this evidence, and everybody's trying to prove what that man or that woman did. That's how awesome you are, that men can't figure you out. But if we keep giving it away, if we keep just saying, you know, come and take all my data and research me and go through, learn everything about me, they'll take that and try to make a human being with it. We have to be willing to live that we're willing to die for the cause. Because it's appointed once to die. And you got to think about it. What are people living for? If you look at the statistics, what people are living for, they're watching television, they're not growing no food, they're not talking to anybody. 81% are not even reading the Bible. These are the churches.
Things, stuff, and entertainment. This is what it's all about.
Right. Live for one more movie. It's like, you know, if it's better to just live a short life on fire for God and move into eternity.
Yeah.
And live with him forever, then try to live forever here, and then end up not in heaven and eternity. Well, think about this. This is a prophetic dream that was given, and Joni was talking about it.
Joni Lamb?
Yeah, Joni Lamb was talking about it and sharing it with John Paul Jackson. So really, why we're bringing it to you is it lines up with the word the Lord gave me, where he told me specifically that something bad is going to happen. And I knew this before this, and that at Washington, D.C. is like a house of cards. That's what he told me. And right after that, that's when Cantor got removed. And they were so surprised that Cantor got removed, you know. And the article said, house of cards. It's a house of cards coming down. Then the president was quoted on some particular program talking about he likes the movie called The House of Cards. And they said that he's a lot like that character in the movie. Well, look what this dream was to understand that God is, it's going to look like it's the last of last days, but God is going to bulldoze all that down, and he's going to turn things around. Our God is a God of mercy. Listen to this dream.
This is a dream from one of our producers, Pam. She said, it was me, Jen James, who's the producer for Marcus and Joni, and some other people that I don't recall. We were in a room watching a flat screen TV during Refreshing Times conference, waiting for one of the roll-ins to start playing. The screen starts to malfunction, and then all of a sudden a feed comes up, and it's the White House. You could see the Washington Mall, some other monuments, cars in a parking lot. The feed was wavy, not very strong, but it was in color. So we're looking at each other like, what? What is going on? And immediately in my head, I'm thinking, okay, here we go. It's happening. It's starting. It's the last of the last days, Antichrist, one world government, etc. Then all of a sudden, this big bulldozer bulldozes through the parking lot of cars and right through the White House, just like it was a deck of cards. Mm. So we start praying in the spirit immediately. And she woke up.
Wow. Well, that dream, that particular dream is obviously a dream about the last day. So it tends to be more on the vision side of things, even though there's symbolism in it. The great thing is this, the bulldozer. Now, you may not think the bulldozer is a great thing. The great thing is the bulldozer, because you're seeing man's plans and you're seeing God saying, but I have a plan that will bulldoze right through the plans of men.
Yay.
There is, and it's the fact that it wasn't really clear, it was kind of fuzzy, indicates that none of this is for sure. There's plans of men that change because people react certain ways, people pray, and so on. But God says, in essence, pray that my bulldozer comes in and goes right through the middle of this mess, and everything gets leveled out. It's like, I will take down the plans of men, and I'm going to raise up my plans. But I have to take down the plans of men first. So, very important dream, especially a dream to pray about.
Any significance to being the fact they were watching Refreshing Times Conference?
Yes, thank you. The Refreshing Times Conference, basically the reason why you saw it in the setting was in a Refreshing Times Conference, is that God's reminding you, I have a plan. That is, the bulldozer says, I'm going to bulldoze through this, and Refreshing Times will come, but there's certain things that have to be taken down and other things that are going to be built up. And so the Refreshing Times says, it's not the conference, it's the title of the conference that says, I want to refresh America, but it's going to take some bulldozing in order for that to happen.
You have to understand, when a bulldozer comes around, it's the most ruthless thing of all. But if you're going to clear the land of a whole bunch of debris and demolish a building, which I think you might be seeing one now, it's going to look rough. And I noticed that people are turning more to a political answer, to a God answer right now. And the results of this particular dream, if we just go the way we've been going, it will be the last of the last of days, potentially, for America. But if we allow God's mercy to come in and just plow over all of, I mean, and that's what you're seeing take place right now. You're hearing some candidates described as a wrecking ball.
Yeah.
And everything is just being just
turned upside down, literally.
Yeah. And you think, and this is what I know Rick Joyner was talking about of Morningstar Ministries, that at least, you know, this particular candidate is just turning things up on his head. And we needed that to happen, because if that doesn't happen, it's not going to work. Men have evil plans in mind to do bad things, you know, to fundamentally transform the purpose, the Constitution, hybrid. I mean, look at all the stuff they're looking at.
Yeah.
When God has a plan, God loves America, God loves you, and God is full of mercy. We're proof positive of that.
Yeah.
And that he will step in, and mercy's not getting what you deserve. If you haven't yet met Pat Hamilton, you can understand the mercies of God. I'm joking, but seriously, the mercies of God, he's just merciful. You don't get caught up in the fact that, you know, God wants to destroy and that type of thing. God wants to redeem. He wants to restore. He wants to forgive. He's just looking for that opportunity for us to cry out to him, to cry out for justice and repent so he can forgive us. So we're going to talk more about this. We'll come back from the break and show you some things about how when Cantor got removed and a prophetic night vision the Lord gave me about Washington is a house of cards. But first, a house of cards.
This is VFN-TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Is it legal to have a Bible study in your house? This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
We have a small church, and we're called the municipality to find out about holding a Bible study in our home. And we were told that we could not do that, and that they wanted to redirect us to renting church space in our area.
We've had actually cases on that. I mean, we had a case in Colorado and a couple of other cases where cease and desist orders were actually taken out against people having Bible studies in their home. Illegal prayer meeting is what the citation order said. And we went to federal court on that and won. And in a situation like this, let us get involved in helping you right away. I'm going to get you in touch with our lawyers. You really should not have any problem there. But let me get you in touch with our lawyers here at the ACLJ, and we're going to get you some help.
Stay informed, get involved, and make a difference. Visit the American Center for Law and Justice at aclj.org. That's aclj.org.
That's right. We have another way how you can stay connected with VFN Radio. It's called the Torch Newsletter. Every week, the Torch Newsletter goes out, and in the newsletter, you're going to get the best of the best of VFN Radio for that week. You're also going to get all the VFN Radio highlights emailed directly into your inbox. So whether you want to listen on your phone, whether you get your emails on your tablet, or whether you get it on your home PC, you will have access to that week's VFN Radio highlights. Go to VFNTV.com and select newsletter sign up, or text VFNTV at 22828. Again, text VFNTV at 22828 and type in your email address. Sign up for the Torch Newsletter now. Pat, you know the great thing about all of our VFN Radio listeners is that so many of them are connecting to us on Facebook. You know, we have a Facebook page. You may be listening today. You may not be aware, but we do. And you can go to facebook.com/VFNTV, or you can go to our VFNTV.com and click Facebook. Be a part. Like us. Tell your friends to like us. We're creating a virtual stadium where everyone can connect and be a part and get fresh updates on everything that happens that day on the program. Don't forget, go to VFNTV.com and click Facebook.
Welcome back to VFNTV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome, 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 welcome back. So this prophetic dream was amazing, wasn't it?
Very much.
Washington, D.C. being a house of cards, or being a deck of cards that's being mowed over by a bulldozer. And but when God gave me this word, and it was a very specific word, it was somebody who was coming back from Washington, D.C., and it's in a vision, night vision, and he's just totally disturbed, and he's talking to me. He's a former law enforcement officer. He still might be a law enforcement officer, got to check. And he's talking to me, and he's saying, "Oh, my God! Oh, my God, Greg, Washington, D.C. is a house of cards. It's a house of cards."
Wow.
Now, you think about a house of cards. I don't know why anybody wants to play a house of cards. It's nerve-wracking because you never know when it's going to crumble or fall.
Yeah.
And if you have a sibling, a brother, you know he's going to come in and knock it over. Isn't that right, Isaiah? I mean, so you think about that it's so – a house of cards is just something just kind of crumbles, and it's not difficult. And then after the Lord spoke to me about that, and we talked about this on the program – that Eric Cantor, which was a leader of a particular conservative party, I guess, in Congress.
Republicans.
Yeah, they were so surprised that he got removed. And the article that went up, and you can see right here, they had an article, and they had the actor in the movie. There's a Mogat program called The House of Cards. They had Eric Cantor, and they had Caesar.
Yikes.
I know. I mean, you're thinking, oh, my goodness. Now, I didn't know this at the time, but there's a program called The House of Cards.
And you got to wonder, is art imitating life, or is life imitating art? I mean, what's going on here?
There actually is a program called House of Cards. And yeah. I talked about it. You can read about it on Wikipedia. But also, the president requested an early version of a release of that particular program, said he watches it all the time. And they say that he moves a lot like this particular guy on the House of Cards. I don't have his name on there. But yeah,
VidAngel.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I wouldn't watch it. We don't even want to watch what's going on with our current
situation. This is true.
But you got to know what's going on. And so it's a house of cards. But this prophetic dreams coming in. This can't. What God told me, what God told this particular part of Joni Lamb's ministry right there, and was being interpreted by John Paul Jackson. This all happened before these particular candidates rose up. And there's an odd candidate that's just like a wrecking ball. Everything, I mean, you're thinking like, are you serious? Are you really doing that? And nobody knows what to do with them. The media is kind of hunkering back. DC's scared of them. I'm sure the Washington's terrified by this particular person. But maybe that is, and the Lord has shown me some real difficult things about this particular person, that he would be very bad for the church, and that he would bring harm to the church because it's just business. And he wouldn't hesitate on taking the church out. Either way, I'm not sure if that's going to happen or not, because the Lord showed me also in a prophetic encounter where I was walking with the new president that was sworn in, and I didn't see any of these current candidates. And I'm not going to tell too many details because you might think it's them or him or her or whatever. But I think that the next person that's going to get into the leadership of this country is going to be a friend to the church. I think they're going to be a friend.
But it's going to take, if we say, God, wreck it, if we say, God, whatever you got to do to save this thing, you know, let it happen. Mm. Let the wrecking ball happen. Let the thing happen that's got to happen. Whatever that is, I don't know. But God, it's just a confirming word of what's going on. And we're seeing that. We're seeing
right.
This,
well, what it presently is not working.
No.
And so, no. Yes, wreck it.
And you can see right here, I don't know if you have the image up there, that there's a particular program called the House of Cards. And that was exactly. It's like, it is calling Washington, D.C. a House of Cards. It's calling, and the flag is upside down. Notice that.
Mm.
They're doing a program about our country talking about the flag is upside down. It pretty much is right now, but I believe the Lord wants it to be able to turn this thing back up again. I mean, think about that. Well, before we go to a break, I want to talk about this museum.
Yes.
I'm so excited about, because we're going to also go to over 3 million men in Washington, D.C. who are part of Promise Keepers, who are praying and repenting for prayerlessness. And that happened before the Green family started this Bible museum. Imagine a museum dedicated to the Word of God in Washington, D.C. That's exciting, isn't it?
It's very exciting. First of its kind, never been done ever before. It's 40,000 artifacts regarding the Bible. It's a building that's going to be, the museum's going to be completed in February of 2017, I believe, and it's 430,000 square feet.
Wow.
I did the math. 2,000 square foot house, 215 of them can fit in this museum. It's state of the art, $400 million, and this is what the Green family, through God's leading,
those are the founders of Hobby Lobby.
Hobby Lobby, they're putting their resources and their finances just all on the table to make this thing happen, and it is absolutely wonderful.
I think it's interesting too. It's not just Americans. It's not just the Green family, but it's the Catholic Church. The Jews are coming and contributing to it.
Oh, I didn't even know that. Wow.
Yeah, everybody's bringing the word. It's just exciting. As a matter of fact, take a look at this.
The Bible, as a historical artifact, if we look at it just in that way, is vital to understanding Western culture.
The Bible as a book is more than just a transmission of a narrative or an oral history or any kind of literary tradition.
It is, in essence, the book of all books. It's the best-selling book of all time. It still has more impact than any other book ever written.
The Bible's significant not because it's talking about itself, but because it's pointing beyond itself.
When we first got started, we were just looking at buying an artifact or two, and we kept having opportunities being presented, and we just kept buying. Today, we have over 40,000 items in the collection.
This is not a small-time operation. The breadth of the collection is kind of breathtaking.
Mr. Green's vision is actually the fruition of what people have been dreaming about for decades.
This is about the Bible. It's not about a faith tradition or a church or a denomination. It's about a book.
We're trying to present the biblical narratives in a clear, objective, just descriptive way. Because people just don't even know the stories.
And part of the history we're trying to tell is to do justice to the wide range of people who have claimed this book as their own, who have participated in its survival, who have had their lives changed by it.
Some of the exciting objects that we have that people would recognize are, of course, our Dead Sea Scroll fragments.
Papyrus 39, it's a fragment from the Gospel of John found at the site of Oxyrhynchus. It is from a passage in John 8, and with its 3rd century date, that papyrus is the earliest surviving witness for that passage in John.
We have one of the largest collections in private hands of Torah scrolls.
And it's really an incredible conflation of all the Jewish communities throughout Europe, Middle East, and North Africa.
The collection contains just about every significant biblical imprint that has ever been printed in America.
These artifacts, which deserve to be studied, are being made available at a high rate for the people who have spent years of their lives acquiring the understanding to learn from them.
There's just moments of awe. The wealth of information that they have provided related to the Bible, its transmission, its history is completely unparalleled.
Museums are a contemporary commentary on our culture.
So Washington, D.C. is a great location for us to be able to share this story with people all over the world.
Putting ourselves in the middle of that holds us to quite a high standard and says that we're willing to engage on that level.
To have the Museum of the Bible there as a part of that overall culture adds to the commentary of who we are.
I really hope that they will leave there with a spark in their heart and their soul. They'll want to know more and learn more and come back. Whether they're young or old, people of faith, all ethnicities, that it will just spark something in their heart.
So I'm rather bold about asking people to get involved. We hope this is an encouragement to people.
If we can bring a greater awareness to our world of this book and its potential impact, that is an exciting venture to be on. Exciting next
yes.
year. As a matter of fact, let's take a look inside. Let's just take a look. Let's take a look at this. We're going to look inside what it really looks like. Take a look. Totally awesome. Think about this now. We had the privilege of being there and praying as part of Promise Keepers, where over 3 million men reportedly came, and they were just, you can't even see us all because we're up under the trees, we're back in the streets, we're everywhere, all over the place. And we came there to be able to repent for our own sin, for several things you've been hearing over the last couple programs. But this particular repentance is taking place. You have to understand this Bible museum is being built right where those 3 million men repented for. We repented for our sin and asked God to forgive us. And according to James Gall, that and many other things are seeds that were planted that's producing a harvest. God's got good plans in store for this country. He's got good plans, even a museum to celebrate his word. And so 3 million plus men came to Washington, D.C., to be able to come and gather together in unity to honor God. We're singing songs like, Jesus, make a man out of me, a man of integrity, a man of the spirit, a man of his word. It was just a powerful time.
Beautiful, yeah.
And we're catching the, you know, we stayed in Maryland, and you stayed in a hotel right next to the place, right?
Yeah.
But we got there first. And we were up front. It was trying to keep Pat away from Hollywood. But
those were his early days.
It was the early days. Yes. And so... Yeah, bright lights. And so, but it was so, think about this, over 3 million men, and the reason why we're showing you this, because this is possible again plus some. This is the future of our country. God wants his church back. He wants his country back. This country works up under God. All of our rights come from God. It's one nation
under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. You remove God from the equation of America, and you don't even have America anymore.
That's right.
But look what America has done, what God has done through America, when we say, you know what, God, all of our rights come from you. We're going to honor you. We're going to have fear of God in our lives. And that alone, having a fear of the Lord, an acknowledgement of the Lord, causes people to want to obey the laws, not just because men are watching them, but because God's eyes are on us. Mm-hmm. And when that happens, the concept of America works. So I want you to join. This is over 3 million plus men. When you see the Mall of America or the Mall of Washington, D.C., it's all the way between the White House and the Lincoln Memorial. All that area is totally covered with men. It's a powerful thing. And what we were praying and asking God to forgive us for, and maybe this is you, prayerlessness and a loss of the first love. Remember the church of Ephesus? He said, you left your first love. He says, if you don't turn back to your first love, it's not going to be good in eternity. And this is what's happening. Join us with these 3 million men praying in the Washington Mall, asking God to forgive us for prayerlessness and the loss of the first love. Watch.
An intercession, and that is how we need to return to Jesus Christ as our first love. Would you take your Bibles and open to page 266, or if you have another copy beside the Stand in the Gap copy, that's Revelation chapter 1 in the New Testament. You know, the Bible opens with a man in a garden who runs from God and hides because of his sin and shame. But the Bible closes with a man on an island who, when he sees the living Lord, runs to him and prostrates himself at Jesus' feet because his sin and shame has been replaced with a first love passion for the Son of God. And we read about that, and if you just look here with me, Revelation chapter 1, verse 12, and out of this we're going to pray. John says, when I turned to see who was speaking to me, I saw seven golden lampstands, and there with the lampstands was someone who seemed to be the Son of Man. He was wearing a robe that reached down to his feet. A gold cloth was wrapped around his chest. His head and his hair were white as wool or snow. His eyes looked like flames of fire. His feet were glowing like bronze being heated in a furnace. His voice sounded like the roar of a waterfall. And he held seven stars in his right hand, and a sharp, double-edged sword was coming from his mouth. His face was shining as bright as the sun at noon. And he is here among us in this hour. And John says, when I saw him, I fell at his feet like a dead man. I'm going to ask us across this entire mall, if you're physically able to find the space to do so, to not just simply kneel. And if that's all you can do, I'd like you to kneel. But if you're able to do so, I'd like you to prostrate yourself like John. On your face, together as brothers, in an act of desire that he would restore unto us a first love passion for himself that would consume our lives. For if God answers this prayer, then all other prayers will be answered this day as well. I'd like to ask us in total silence, not anyone speaking, not anyone saying a word, in the prayers of your own heart, silent like a dead man. I'd like you, first of all, to tell him of whatever love there is in your heart for him, that you would share that love with him, that you would express in your own words, within your heart, your affections for this one whose glory was just described to us. He is here. Speak with him now in silence. And now I'd like to ask you, out of that expression of love, that you would now begin quietly, privately, within your own heart, to pray out a prayer to him of confession and brokenness over how far you have drifted from a first love passion for Jesus Christ. Confess Him whatever you see in your life that has taken His place in your heart, and cry to Him for mercy, for forgiveness, for deliverance, and for victory. Father, across this vast mall and on our faces, in brokenness, in silence, we acknowledge to you that the greatest sin of our lives is that we have forsaken your Son as the consuming passion of our hearts. Have mercy on us. Cleanse us from this thing. Restore within the depths of our being a consuming love for the one who will one day consume everything with himself. Transform our hearts and build into our lives love that is with all of our strength and all of our might and all of our heart and all of our soul and all of our being for Him who is so worthy. O Holy Child of Bethlehem, descend on us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in and be born afresh in the center of our hearts this day. Now in prostration, I want you now to, remembering what Joseph shared with us, to take a few moments of absolute silence and confess to the Lord the sin of prayerlessness that has robbed you of a first love passion for Jesus Christ. Confess that prayerlessness to Him. Ask for forgiveness, deliverance, and a new beginning. Please pray.
Shops. We want to give special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com. On your mobile applications, you can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.
That's right. We have another way how you can stay connected with VFN Radio. It's called the Torch Newsletter. Every week, the Torch Newsletter goes out, and in the newsletter, you're going to get the best of the best of VFN Radio for that week. You're also going to get all the VFN Radio highlights emailed directly into your inbox. So whether you want to listen on your phone, whether you get your emails on your tablet, or whether you get it on your home PC, you will have access to that week's VFN Radio highlights. Go to VFNTV.com and select newsletter sign up, or text VFNTV at 22828. Again, text VFNTV at 22828 and type in your email address. Sign up for the Torch newsletter now.